Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Persecution of Christians around the world seems to be increasing. Even though here in America, Christian business owners have been targeted because of their positions on one man, one woman marriage, or nativity scenes have been vandalized, or Christians have been placed in Facebook jail for 30 days, or had tweets deleted, we really know very little about real persecution. My guest today is Todd Nettleton. He's Chief of Media Relations and Message Integration for the Voice of the Martyrs, and also host of the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Thanks, Todd, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So give us a little bit of history of Voice of the Martyrs. How did the organization come about and such, and what's your mission?
Well, the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs was a man named Pastor Richard Wormbrand. He was a persecuted Christian himself. He was a Lutheran pastor in the country of Romania who suffered persecution first at the hands of the Nazis, and then the communists came in and pushed the Nazis out, and the communists took over. And he was persecuted by the communists as well. Richard spent 14 years in prison. His wife, Sabina, spent 3 years in prison, including many months in a labor camp, helping to build the Danube Canal. Richard was imprisoned at one point for 3 years. He was in solitary confinement. So he was literally held below ground level in a solitary confinement cell. And it was kind of during those months that God began to plant a vision on his heart for an organization that would help people like him, people who are being persecuted for their faith. Eventually, he was released from prison. Richard and Sabina were ransomed out of Romania, and before they left, the secret police took them aside and said, you know, we know you're going to the West. You can preach all you want. You can talk about God all you want. You can talk about the Bible all you want, but don't talk about what we did to you. Don't talk about the way we persecuted you. Richard came to the West and did exactly what they told him not to do, began to share the stories of being in solitary and being tortured, and more importantly, though, than his own story, he said there are still pastors in those prisons. And Christians like you and me, we hear those stories and we say, okay, if there's still pastors in those prisons, how do we help them? That was really how the Voice of the Martyrs was founded, was to be a bridge between the church here in the United States and the church in hostile and restricted nations around the world.
Yeah, because we understand very little about persecution here in the States. I mean, we hear the stories. You know, a group of us went to watch the movie Tortured for Christ, which was a movie based on Richard's imprisonment and such. But it's still hard for us to comprehend that people can be physically tortured because of their belief in Christ. And it's hard for us to understand. We heard a lot from the Middle East when ISIS was so active in that area. Has that kind of settled down, or is it just we're not hearing the stories of the persecution of Christians there?
You know, it has settled down in some ways. The fact that ISIS has been, at least in, you know, northern Iraq, they have been mostly defeated. The city of Mosul has been liberated. Some of the Christians who were forced out have now moved back. So we're not hearing that same style of persecution. You know, ISIS actually took territory and controlled territory and said, hey, we don't want any Christians in our territory. So you're either going to become a Muslim or you're going to have to leave or else we're going to kill you. We don't see that in the sense of really having territory that's controlled, having a sort of governing body kick out all of the Christians. What we do see is still persecution. And one of the fascinating things about persecution in the Middle East is it often starts with your own family. It's your dad, it's your older brother who says, wait a minute, we're a Muslim family, and now you're saying you're a follower of Christ. You have brought shame on our whole family. You have to drop this. You can't be a Christian. You have to come back to be a Muslim. So that's oftentimes where the persecution starts out, is right in your own home, right with your own family. And then if your family can't sort of, as they would say, solve the problem, then it might escalate to the police or the local authorities or some kind of government officials. But where it starts is no, if you're going to live in our house, you cannot be a follower of Christ.
Wow. I know there's been a lot of persecution of Christians in, well, in most Muslim countries or where there's a Muslim, large, powerful Muslim group. But I know Africa has been, there's been a lot of persecution, as well as India seems to be, or definitely is heating up as far as persecution of Christians. Where do you think, if you can even pinpoint a particular area of the world that is really a hotbed of persecution for those who profess Christ?
You know, there is persecution in more than 70 countries. So it's hard to say, okay, this one, you know, here is where it's worse. There's a couple places I would particularly point to, though. One is North Korea. North Korea is a prison camp disguised as a country, and everybody there is oppressed, but Christians are oppressed even more than everyone else because the government presents this idea that the Kim family is divine. And so if you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a follower of the God of heaven, that's not just a matter of, hey, that's the wrong religion or that's a Western religion. It's a matter of that's treason. That undermines the North Korean government teaching, and so it's treason. So North Korea is one. Another one I would point to is their neighbor China. We have seen a dramatic increase in persecution in China over the last year. They put into effect in February some new laws about religious expression and have really tightened the screws against the church. And one of the things we see is it's not just the unregistered church or what we used to call the house churches. It's also the registered church, the church that had permission from the government to exist. We're also seeing registered church pastors arrested. We're seeing registered churches shut down or dominated by the government. So China is another one. If you go over to the Muslim world, I think certainly of Saudi Arabia, Iran is a place where just in the last few months we've seen more than 100 people arrested. Kind of as a preemptive strike against Christmas and evangelism that happens at Christmas time. And you mentioned India as well. India is another place where we've seen persecution increase over the last year or 2 years as the government of Prime Minister Modi really tries to, they want India to be 100% Hindu. And so they are doing everything they can to keep Christians from evangelizing, to keep outreach from happening so that more Hindus won't come to faith in Christ.
Wow. Yeah, India is a relatively new one, at least I think. I mean, not that I follow this real closely, but India is a relatively new hotspot, I would think, over the last few years. I think, like you mentioned, with the change of government, and they're really emphasizing the quote-unquote need to eradicate the Christian religion. You know, you just listed these half a dozen or so countries, and I know that there's more. As you mentioned, there are more, but these particular ones are really hot spots. I know in Africa, there was a lot of anti-Christian, mostly from Muslim groups, anti-Christian activity. Is that still kind of some hot spots in Africa, different parts of Africa?
Absolutely. That is still happening. One that comes immediately to mind is Nigeria. We have seen multiple attacks this year from radical Islamists from among the Fulani tribe, attacking Christian villages, attacking Christian homes and churches and businesses. So Nigeria, certainly. The other one that comes to mind is Somalia. I just was reading a story this afternoon about having a Bible in Somalia, and if Al-Shabaab, the radical terrorist group Al-Shabaab, finds out that you're a Christian or finds out that you have a Bible, you are immediately asked to renounce Christianity and return to Islam, or else you will be killed. It is just literally that quick. And so, like I say, Nigeria and Somalia, absolutely among the hardest places to be a Christian. And when we talk about Nigeria, we need to be sure to say northern Nigeria. The southern part of the country is actually majority Christian, and there are large megachurches that are operating there. The northern part, though, is where we see the persecution against the church.
And, you know, we here in the U.S., we live our comfortable lives, we read these stories, and we go about our happy way, by and large. What can we do as Christians living comfortably, but mostly living comfortably here in the United States? What can we do here in the United States to help our persecuted brothers and sisters?
I encourage people to go through a three-step process, and the first one is pray. That's the first request of persecuted Christians around the world. Pray for us. And the challenging thing to me is they're not saying pray that our suffering will stop or that our government will change or that persecution will go away. What they're saying is pray that we'll be faithful to Christ in spite of the persecution that we're facing. So number one is pray. Number two, then, I think, is to educate ourselves so that we can pray effectively. And we're doing a little bit of that right here. You know, we're talking about, okay, so what countries is persecution bad in? Who are the people that we're praying for? Who are the persecutors? How do we pray for them as well? So pray and then educate yourself so that you can pray effectively. And Voice of the Martyrs has lots of tools to help you educate yourself. We send out a free newsletter every month to anybody who wants it. We actually have an app on your phone that you can pull up a new prayer request every day of the year to help you pray throughout the year. We have something called a global prayer guide that lists all the countries where Christians are persecuted and gives you a little bit of background about the situation in that country and who the persecutors are and what the government is like and how that is working for the church. So pray, educate yourself so that you can pray more effectively. And then number three in this three-step process is whatever the Lord asks you to do, because as you're praying and as you're educating yourself, God's going to lay on your heart to do something. And maybe it's write letters to Christians in prison. Maybe it's write letters to your congressman and ask them to pay attention to Christians who are in prison. Maybe it's send Bibles to one of these countries. Maybe it's get on an airplane and go. Mm-hmm. But that will happen as you're praying and as you're learning more about persecuted Christians around the world. Then God's going to say, okay, now I want you to be involved here. And then at that point, you have the choice to say, okay, am I going to obey what God is asking me to do, or am I going to disobey? But it starts out with our prayers for our brothers and sisters around the world.
As I went through Voice of the Martyrs website, I saw that you actually have actions set up, such as you mentioned sending Bibles, but you actually have something there on the website where you can, you have the process, you know, people can go through the process and send the Bibles through Voice of the Martyrs, because you guys know where the need is the most. So to me, you know, the listeners need to go to persecution.com. I believe that's
persecution.com is our website. Yeah, and there's lots of tools there. And we have been doing this now for 51 years. Mm-hmm. And so we have developed contacts on the ground in these countries to help get the Bibles to the people who need them, get them out to where maybe other people can't get them to. So absolutely, we are equipped and ready to help people reach out and connect with our persecuted family around the world.
Right. And you also have the prisoner alert, which you mentioned writing prisoners, which you actually have the how-tos, how to do that on your website. So, I mean, you guys have the tools there. But one thing that really hit me, we also have the Family Med Pack. And this is to help Christians, mostly victims of Islamic extremists, but to provide a care package filled with everyday health and medical items, such as Band-Aids, gauze, medical tape, washcloths, toothbrushes, soap, and other items. Things we take for granted. We assume that's going to be in the medicine cabinet or in the bathroom, you know, somewhere. You know, we just assume it's going to be there. It's hard for us to put ourselves in the place of these who may still be living in refugee camps under very dire conditions, but, you know, that really hit me as I was reading through your various resources. You know, a simple Band-Aid or gauze or toothbrush or washcloth, I assume it's going to be there. As Christians here in America, it's hard for us, like I said, to wrap our heads around the persecution that our brothers and sisters are going through and things that we take advantage that they don't have.
That is so true. And the Family Med Pack, that actually came about from, you know, seeing Christians who have had to flee their homes and left everything behind. And, you know, like you say, when we're at our house and we need a Band-Aid, well, we go to the medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
Well, what if we weren't at our house? What if we didn't have a house? That's what the Family Med Pack is. It is sort of designed to be a portable medicine cabinet for our brothers and sisters who have had to leave everything behind to flee persecution.
Yeah. And you also have exile nights. Kind of explain what an exile night is as part of an education process. What is that?
Well, exile night is primarily for younger people, college students, high school students, and it basically is an opportunity for you and your youth group or your student group to live like a exile for one night. And most of the time there is sleeping in a tent, sleeping outside, sleeping someplace that you don't have a bed, and you kind of live like the Christians that had to flee from ISIS in the Middle East. When ISIS came in and the Christians grabbed what they could carry and they fled their homes, many of them went into refugee camps. This gives us, as American Christians, an opportunity to live like a refugee for one night. And what we find happens is, after you live like a refugee for one night, you don't have to be reminded near as much to pray for Christians who have had to flee their homes, mm-hmm. because you can identify, wow, it gets cold at night. What if you're sleeping in a tent and it's cold?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is our brothers and sisters. This is what they're going through right now. So it's just an opportunity for Americans, and like I say, primarily we focus that on students, to live that like our brothers mm-hmm. and sisters in the Middle East are living, and get a taste of what they're going through.
Yeah, I thought that was an excellent idea, you know, a hands-on experience to be able to experience what our brothers and sisters are going through. I mean, that's something that would definitely stick in the mind of anyone who participates in an exile night, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's also Kids of Courage, and that sounded like it's more for younger kids to kind of get them educated on the fact that there are Christians who are being persecuted across the world.
KidsOfCourage.com is the website for that, and like you say, it is an age-appropriate way to uh-huh. educate children about Christian persecution, about what it means to follow Christ in a place like China or North Korea or Iran. And again, it's age-appropriate. We don't want to overwhelm
right.
kids with stories of suffering,
mm-hmm.
But it is important for them to understand it's not always free and easy to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's a price to be paid for
yeah.
that. And one of the things that I think about as we talk about educating is our kids love heroes. My boys, some of their heroes are guys who can put a basketball through a hoop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's great. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But what if some of their heroes also are people who stood for Christ
yeah.
in spite of persecution, in spite of suffering? I want them to have that kind of hero as well. And so Kids of Courage is a way for us as parents to help our children develop some of these heroes who are heroes of the faith, not heroes of the basketball court
right.
or the football field.
Right. Heroes that have eternal impact.
Exactly.
For sure. I know you have a video series, too, because I looked at it. I can't remember the name of it right now. But you have a video series that talks about the various heroes of the faith. Again, I can't remember the name of it.
Torchlighters
okay,
is the name of that. Yeah,
right.
Animated videos about different heroes of the faith. That's another thing a tool, again, for parents to help your kids learn these stories and develop an appreciation for the heroes of our faith.
Yeah, and that's one thing that kids definitely need to understand, that there are heroes beyond the basketball court or the baseball field or football field or whatever, that there are heroes of the faith, and that, you know, there are many Christians who qualify as heroes of the faith. And to me, these who are suffering persecution, and, you know, their first request is pray for us, but not to pray necessarily that the persecution go away, but pray that they have the strength to remain faithful to the Lord. That's an impactful request right there. You know, don't pray that the persecution disappears. Just pray that we have the faith to withstand it. That's just amazing. It's not just adults, as you mentioned, it's not just adults that are necessarily targeted for persecution. It's children, too, and such as in Muslim countries, as you mentioned. Many times persecution starts in the family. If someone is converted to Christ, then the family is the one who tries to convince that new Christian that they have to denounce Christ and take up the, become a Muslim again. So across the board, any age Christian could be persecuted in these countries. Any other suggestions on what we can do? I mean, there's a whole lot of resources there on your website. So any other?
Well, the other thing I would point people to, and I'm biased because I get the privilege of hosting, but Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Every week we do a podcast, we do a radio broadcast. That is basically a sit-down interview with a Christian who has faced persecution or with someone who is working in the countries where Christians are persecuted. And so we have had some amazing stories from people. I'm thinking just this past weekend's episode, we had a pastor who was imprisoned in Sudan, and he talked about the time that he was in prison, was the best time of his life.
Wow.
And he literally said, I hope I can repeat it again so that I have that same kind of joy again. And I just thought, wow,
yeah.
Who says they want to go back to prison because God was so close to them there?
Wow.
So I would encourage people, listen to the podcast, listen to the radio broadcast, and be encouraged by the stories of people literally in their own words, in their own voice, just telling their stories. And the thing that comes out again and again is how God is worth it. Jesus is worth it. Even if we have to suffer for following him, even if we have to pay a price, he is worth it to do that. And the blessing that comes out of that is amazing. And we as American Christians don't get to experience that blessing. I interviewed an Iranian Christian not too long ago who said, "You know, I really feel like if a Christian is not persecuted, they are really missing out. Because they don't get to have that blessing of being persecuted."
Yeah, well,
and I just thought,
and really, you know, and I've heard that the church is growing fastest in those countries that where this persecution is some of the worst. You know, I don't know how if that's true or if that plays out across the board. But some of the biggest church growth or fastest church growth is happening in countries where persecution takes place.
It is absolutely true, and
wow.
It is amazing, and it is. There is something about how God works in those situations and just amazing stories of his faithfulness.
Wow, fantastic. Okay, how can folks contact you?
Persecution.com is our main website, persecution.com. Right at the top of the page, there's a button that says free newsletter. If you want to receive Voice of the Martyrs monthly newsletter, again, it's free. We would love for every Christian to have this and equip yourself and beginning educating yourself to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. Again, that website is persecution.com.
Okay, and I do encourage our listeners to check that out because it's a great website with and all the resources we mentioned, all the ways you can help and become engaged, they're on that website, so just check it out. So thanks, Todd, so much for your work and for taking time to be with us.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay, take care. Okay.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323. Or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.